Going Through Life with Betty and Bob. This is Milton Cross, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to join us for a visit with Betty and Bob Drake. But first, a few words from a friend of yours. Betty and Bob are faced with what might be the most important problem of their lives. Ever since the auditor went over the Trumpet's books and showed that the newspaper has been constantly operating at a loss, Bob has realized that he must come to a decision. Either they must give up the Trumpet and keep the remains of their fortune, or risk everything for the job they set out to do. Betty feels that whatever decision Bob makes will be the right one. Last evening, when Betty and Bob discussed the problem with Sam Carter, Bob felt that at a time like this, in the world of today, the Trumpet and the possible good the paper might do was the most important thing to consider. This morning, Bob left for the office early, and we find Betty and Sam still lingering over their breakfast.
You're so quiet this morning, Sam.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just thinking.
I hope the problems of the Drake family haven't gotten you worried.
I think you're wonderful, Betty, the way you sit there so calmly.
Oh, I'm not really so calm. I'm a little worried about Judy's cold.
Well, you mustn't let that upset you, Betty. I'm sure it isn't much. Babies are supposed to have sniffles regularly.
Oh, yes, but not my babies. I know it isn't anything serious, but Dickie might catch it and...
Oh, he won't. I never saw such healthy kids in my life.
I just want to make sure Judy's all right before I go down to the office. I suppose I'm just an anxious mother, but... You know, the minute there's the slightest thing wrong with Judy or Dick, I just can't think of anything else.
Mrs. Drake said there really wasn't anything wrong with Judy.
Well, I suppose there isn't.
Then let me drop you at the office. I'm taking a cab downtown in a little while.
Fine, Sam.
You know, Betty, I just can't get over it.
Over what?
Your husband.
Bob?
I suppose I shouldn't be saying this to you, Betty, but Bob certainly bowled me over last night.
How?
Well, I've known Bob for a good many years.
Practically as long as I have, Sam.
I didn't believe it possible that anyone could change as much as he has.
Oh, I don't think Bob's really changed. It's just that he's grown older since you knew him.
No, it can't be only that. He's a completely different person.
Do you really think that, Sam?
Well, you'll remember Bob in the old days, always full of enthusiasm and drive.
I still think he's got those qualities.
Yes, but it's not the same thing, Betty. He used to get enthusiastic, but he'd never see anything through or finish a job. Don't you remember that time the club made Bob chairman of the entertainment committee?
Oh, yes. That was a long time ago.
Yes, yes, but I just mentioned it as an example. Remember how excited he got and all the plans he made?
You know, I'll never forget that dance he arranged to raise money.
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. club lost plenty on that dance. And why? Just because halfway through the arrangements, Bob just lost interest.
Well, Bob just wasn't interested in entertainment.
Oh, please don't misunderstand me, Betty. I'm not being critical of Bob. Not now.
Well, maybe in those days you were a little prejudiced, Sam.
Oh, I don't think so. I always liked Bob. I thought he was a great fellow, but a little helter-skelter.
And now?
Well, he's the strongest, the steadiest man I know.
It's nice of you to say that, Sam.
I mean it. If ever a man had his feet on the ground and knew exactly where he was going, it's Bob Drake. You know, the way he talked last night, I'll never forget some of the things he said.
Bob can be very convincing.
Oh, it's more than that, Betty. He's got the courage of his convictions. I've never seen anyone with such fire and determination.
Well, maybe now you've seen the real Bob.
Well, he certainly is real enough. I think you should be very proud, Betty.
I am.
I don't think anyone can really appreciate all you've done for Bob.
All that I've done?
Yes, you. I'm sure that Bob would be the first one to admit it.
Why, Sam, you haven't told that to Bob, have you?
Bob knows what I think.
Well, I'm afraid I can't agree with you. No one can really change a man.
But someone can bring out his best qualities.
I think Bob and I have been very good for each other. Or does that sound like bragging?
That's a very modest statement, Betty.
You certainly are in earnest, Sam.
You know, if Bob really ever does anything great, and after the things he said last night, he certainly is striving in that direction.
Then you think that Bob mustn't give up the trumpet to him?
Well, in spite of anything it might mean for you, you wouldn't want Bob to give up the trumpet, would you, Betty?
Bob must make his own decision.
Oh, you're so confident, Betty.
I'm confident that Bob will do the right thing.
I envy you.
Why?
To have so much faith.
Well, I'm sure my faith is justified. No matter how impetuous Bob may be, I know that he puts me and the children above anything else in his life.
Well, I should hope so. If I didn't think that, I'd...
Don't get so indignant.
It's getting to be like old times, isn't it, Betty? You and I sitting here discussing how wonderful Bob is.
Oh, did we used to do that?
Well, maybe it wasn't a discussion. You used to do all the talking.
And you used to do all the listening. Poor Sam.
No, it's all right. At least you never let me have any illusions about myself.
Sam Carter.
Come on, Betty, let's get started downtown. You know, it's always dangerous when I start talking about myself.
All right. I'll just run out and see how Judy is. Oh, there's Mother. Mother, is Judy all right?
Perfectly all right, Betty. I don't think she really has a cold, but I'll just keep her indoors today to make sure.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Mrs. Drake. Now I'll be able to drop Betty at the office.
Oh, are you leaving so soon, Betty?
Why, dear, is there anything you wanted me to stay for?
As a matter of fact, there is, yes.
Not Judy? She...
No, not Judy. I just want to talk to you, Betty.
Oh, well, of course. Well, Sam, I'm afraid you'll have to ride downtown all by yourself.
You don't want me to wait?
No. I know you're in a hurry, and when Mother and I get talking, it's hours sometimes before we're through.
Oh, well, now, if you're really in a hurry...
Nonsense. I've got all the time in the world.
Well, all right. I'll see you later. Goodbye, Mrs. Drake.
Goodbye, Sam.
Goodbye.
Bye.
He's a nice young man.
Sam, he certainly is. You think even more highly of him, Mother, if you'd been able to hear what he just said about your son.
Mm. I wish Bob were more like him.
Why, Mother, Sam just got through telling me he wished he were more like Bob.
Well, he may have his reasons for wishing that, but...
What is it, Mother?
Betty, you've just got to do something about Bob.
About Bob?
I know I'm his mother, but you're his wife, and you've just got to put your foot down.
About what, dear?
You're too easy with him. You're just spoiling Bob and spoiling things for yourself.
Darling, I don't know what you mean.
I mean this business about the trumpet. I was awake practically all night worrying about it.
Oh, now, Mother, you shouldn't.
Well, it may be true that I don't know anything about publishing a newspaper. But, well, it seems to me that when a business, any business, even the newspaper business, is being run at a constant loss, well, then it's time to quit.
Oh, now, Mother, you're just getting yourself upset and nervous.
Well, I've got every reason to be upset and nervous. You're my children, and... I just can't stand seeing you jeopardize your whole future.
We must let Bob do what he thinks right, Mother.
No, Betty. I'm afraid Bob won't do what's right in this case.
Oh, yes, he will.
I know my son. He's just a stubborn, pig-headed, inconsiderate...
Oh, Mother, be careful. You're talking about my husband.
Well, I'm also talking about my son. Even when he was a little boy, he'd always try to get his own way. Didn't make any difference whether it was good or bad for him.
But Bob isn't a little boy anymore.
Well, I was against this newspaper business from the start. It's done nothing but bring you unhappiness and trouble.
Oh, now, that's not altogether true, Mother.
Well, I don't know what satisfaction either of you have gotten out of it. No, I think Bob should have sold that paper a long time ago.
Now, Mother.
So many people have suffered because of it. Look at Claire. Her husband was killed because of that newspaper. And
Bob was almost killed, too.
Oh, Betty, you've got to talk to Bob. You've got to make him understand that you want him to give up the paper.
No, Mother, I just couldn't do that.
Well, why not? Now tell me, what do you get out of this paper?
Oh, a lot of things, Mother.
But there are so many things that you could have. You and Bob and the children.
Yes, I know.
Then why don't you talk to Bob, Betty? He'd do anything for you.
Yes, I know he would.
Don't you see, dear? You don't want this kind of life. Always associating with thieves and racketeers, and never knowing what the next day will bring. I'm sure that if Bob only realized what he's doing, well, he'd have given up the paper a long time ago.
No, I don't think so, Mother. I think that you're just prejudiced against the newspaper business.
Well, why shouldn't I be prejudiced against it? Especially now when Bob is risking everything, pouring good money after bad. Oh, I wish there was something I could do to make you understand how I feel.
But I do understand, darling, and lots of times I feel just the way you do.
Well, then why don't you do something?
There's nothing that I can do. It's up to Bob. He's got to do what he thinks is right. Try to understand that, Mother.
I'm afraid I can't. You're just throwing away your happiness, Betty.
Maybe. But I'd risk even that to keep Bob happy.
Will Bob's mother be able to make Betty see her point of view? This is Milton Cross again, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to take a moment to listen to an important message. This program is presented over this station 5 times each week, Monday through Friday, at this same hour. Join us when we next meet Betty and Bob. Your announcer, Milton Cross.